Could you hear her back there in the back? Okay, wanted to make sure of that. They usually answer about all the questions, and I know they were attending today, but sometime they just, they're like me sometime. I forget what I want to say, and I say what I forgot to say, and what I forget sometime I should have said. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm sorry I haven't been able to get to the board, but it looks like somebody did put the title of the message on the board this morning. If you'll turn me to the first chapter of the book of John for the reading of our scripture before our special this morning. 1 John chapter 1, we'll start reading with verse 29. Reading the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man who is before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bore witness that this is the Son of God. Say those words. This is the Son of God. Say it again. This is the Son of God. We'll be speaking to you on the subject this morning, whereunto us, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is, as I say many times, one of the greatest text that is contained within the Word of God, because you can trace the Lamb of God from Genesis 3:15 to the great judge of Revelations. You could search the entire scripture and never, I believe, in a lifetime called of God to be able to preach or teach all concerning the Lamb of God. In fact, every message contains the Lamb of God, doesn't it? John was baptizing in an area called Bethabara, and it was just beyond Jordan. And our text, if you read it carefully, tells us that he knew already who Jesus was because he had already baptized Jesus. But he tells us something about the Lamb of God. He said, I did not know his purpose. I did not know him as the Lamb of God until I baptized him. And when he was brought up out of the water, John said that the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove lit upon Jesus Christ. And this was the prophecy. The one that you see the Holy Spirit descend from heaven and light upon and remain there is the Messiah, is the Lamb of God, John says. And you'll find that if you are looking in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, and Luke chapter 3, 21 through 22. It is something about Jesus. At this time, he had lived approximately 30 years. He was a man of approximately 30 years old when he comes into his earthly ministry. And something about his life during these 30 years. He showed forth no glory for others to see. His life was not on display to gain reputation or reputation. In fact, they called him the son of Joseph. They called him the carpenter's son. But far more than that. And this is another message. But you and I know that Jesus was not the son of a carpenter, Joseph. We know he was not the son of Joseph. He was the son of God. And we need to remember this, that he was of God. The rulers had no inkling who he really was. In fact, John said, "This man, the Lamb of God, he is now walking in your midst, and you don't know him. You don't know who he is. You don't know what he's about. You have not recognized him as the Son of God." And yet, he walks and moves and works within a relationship with you. But again, here comes Jesus. He comes to the area where John had baptized him before. And John sees him coming. Get a hold of your seat now. You know, I'm going to get a little loud. Because John said, "Look!" Say it. "Look! Come on! Look! The Lamb of God." I don't think John said, hey guys, look at that, Lamb of God. John emphasizes and he introduced and he commands who he is. Behold, look. And that means look with a staunchest look that is amazing to see. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And yet the name signifies much more. The Lamb of God signifies more than a meek and a gentle and a humble lamb that I had would be led to the slaughter, who would be so humble and meek that is for the world as the Paschal Lamb of God, the Paschal, the substitute Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, O great Lamb of God, the Holy Lamb of God, John says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In reality, if I say to you, John said, behold the Lamb of God. What do you see? Who do you see? This side. Who do you see? Boy, very weak. Behold the Lamb of God. Who do you see?
Jesus.
A little louder. Loudness doesn't bring the point. But us who sit here today and those throughout the world, when we in our mind visualize that individual called Jesus who John now introduces as the Lamb of God, we just see Jesus. But he was more than that. That Lamb of God was the reality of every perfect lamb that was slain and his blood poured on the altar from the beginning of time. He was the lamb who once and for all would shed his sin and they would be entered into the Holy of Holies, the holiness of God, and presented to God as a sacrifice for the sins of the world once and for all. Behold the Lamb of God that every lamb that was slain looked forward to that day, to that individual that we just see as the man called Jesus. He was every lamb that was ever slain for the sins of the world. That's one thing that he was. Who was he? Do you remember a man who takes his son to the mountain? And do you remember that he lays him on the kindling wood on the mountain? And you remember that he laid him there that he might slay him. And the young boy had asked his father Abraham a question. And not knowing he was to be the sacrifice, he says to Abraham, "Where is the sacrifice?" And listen. Listen to what Abraham said to his son Isaac. He said, "God will provide a sacrifice." Do you know who Jesus was, the Lamb of God? I'll tell you who he was. I'm sorry. I'm getting excited. I think I got so much in and I can't get it all out. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was that ram that was caught in that thicket, the sacrifice to be placed in the place of Isaac on the mountain. He was that ram that came to die in your place and my place, that you and I might live and not be sacrificed. That's who he was. Who was he? He was every morning, noon, and evening sacrifice throughout all of Israel that was taken before the Holy of Holies. And there on the table, their throats cut and the blood drained, and there became lifeless. And then the priest took the blood of that lamb into the holy place where the dwelling of God was. And he sprinkled that blood upon the Word of God and upon the altar. Who was this Lamb of God? He was every lamb that throat was cut on that table. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was the sacrifice for the entire world. Can I get an amen? Well, God's good today, isn't he? How wonderful that God is. Who was he? You remember a little story? That when God leads Israel out of bondage, you remember what he told them to do? He said to them, "Get a perfect lamb and slay it. And after you have slain it, take the blood from that sacrifice and smear it upon the door post, the edging of the door." And then he says, "And when the death angel passes over that will kill the firstborn in every house, when he sees the blood, your firstborn shall live." The writer said it like this in song. Oh, when I see, let's sing it. Oh, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when, you don't know it, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Who was the Lamb of God? It was his blood on the doorpost that when the death angel passed over, their house was safe and secure because the blood of the sacrifice was seen. You, my friend, and I, when it comes to judgment day, you and I will not enter into judgment. Why? Because you and I have been rubbed by the blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. How wonderful that is, yes? Not only did John announce who Jesus was, he's the Lamb of God. He's the one that prophesies throughout the Old Testament. He was the one looked forward to. Do you remember a man preaching for close to 600 years? And one day after 600 years, I'll show you how stupid people are. Now, no, I'm not talking about just you. I'm talking about the world's people. After 600 years of the Word of God, they still rejected God. So God says, "Build an ark for the saving of 8. Do you know who the Lamb of God was? He was the ark. Ark, symbolic. Faith, not just for preservation, but for whosoever will may come. Behold, the Lamb of God. And he said to him what he came to do. He came, now, very important, say it right. He came to take away the, say it again. Are you saying sins? Wrong. I told you to pay attention. Sin. S-I-N. Of the world. You ever notice that before in your Bible? But he did not die that time for our sin. Oh, what incomprehensible thing for the Jews. That here is one that comes to take away the sin of the world. And they were looking for something different. They was looking for a great warrior to come riding in with a great army into Jerusalem on a white steed or a red steed and take over the government of Rome and relieve them from under the oppression of the people. And now John says, nope. He isn't a great warrior. He isn't riding no great stallion. He hasn't got the weapon for war. In fact, the one that you look forward to will die. Will die by the hands of the very ones that put you under depression. He will be a lamb that will be led to the slaughter. He will be the lamb, not a great warrior, that will hang on the cross as a criminal. He is the one that will be shamed and spit upon and stabbed in the side and a crown of thorns placed on him and his hair plucked from his beard. Not a great warrior. Who is it then? The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. Let me emphasize this. That the Lamb of God came to die once and for all for the sin of the world. Not for a select few. Not for the elite of the world. Not for a select group. Not for the rich or the poor. Not for the black or the white. Not for the Jew or the Gentile. Not for the bond or the free. Not for the unlearned or the learned. He came to die for the world. The entire world. It made no difference to him. This Lamb came to deliver everyone from sin. Notice once again, not sins, but the sin of the world. What sin? Hear me good. The sin that damns every soul that doesn't recognize the Lamb of God. What is that sin that he hung on Calvary's cross and died for? Here it is. Write it down. Never forget it. Jesus died for the sin of unbelief. Say it. Unbelief. You didn't say it. What's the matter with us? Doesn't that excite you? That everyone that doesn't believe on Christ is condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. Why? Because he or she has not believed in the only begotten Son of God. He came to die for the sin of unbelief. Oh, I know what you're thinking now, preacher. Lying will send you to hell. You and I got an argument, and I got the Word of God to say that you're wrong. Lying, stealing, murder will not send you to hell. Am I getting this right, Bob? What sends us to hell is unbelief. Only unbelief. What are all these other things then, preacher? I don't mind telling you, they are the fruits of unbelief. Those who do not believe in Christ, they lie, they steal, they kill, they bear false witness, they commit idolatry, they commit adultery. And all these things are the fruits of unbelief. And so he dies for unbelief. And when we accept him and he rids us of unbelief, he will also rid us of the fruits of unbelief. Amen. Cuss. I have heard Christians say something, I slipped. No, you didn't. You didn't slip. That's a habit you got because you haven't committed to Christ. You don't have to steal. You don't have to covet. You don't have to murder. These are the fruits of sin, and they're not what God expects to do once we find God. And so, behold the Lamb of God who came to die for the sin of the world to free us from unbelief. I want to say this. If you are still cursing, hear me well and judge me if you will, but I got the Word of God. If you are still lying, if you are still bearing false witness, if your life hasn't changed since you claim to have met Christ, you better have your doubt really born again. Because when you accept Him as the Lamb of God, sin of the world on the cross, He did not take away sin. He took away the sin of unbelief on Calvary's cross. And if you still do not believe, you are not a child of God. No, I'm not condemning you. I'm preaching the Word of God. But He said something else, and let me get to close. No, I could go on all day, but I can and don't want to. I want you to get the picture. He comes as the Lamb of God. He comes to take away the sin of the world. And John says something else still yet. He comes to give us the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Oh, what a joy that He come to give us, to fill us with the Spirit of God. When do we receive it? Oh, I hear some nonsense from other denominations, and I'm not judging them, my friend. But the Word of God says that the moment we come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and takes abode. How do I know? Because in 1 John, John says this, if you have not the Spirit of God, you are none of His. Did you get that? If you do not have the Holy Spirit of God, you are not a Christian. If we become a Christian when we accept Christ as Savior, then we must receive the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, there's more. The Holy Spirit of God that taketh away. John 3:5 says, for we are born of the Spirit of God. We are born of the Spirit, John says. What does this say? That when you accept the Lamb of God who died for the sin of the world, you receive the Holy Spirit. You are born of the Spirit into the family of God. Amen. That's why I look at you if you're a Christian and say, Tony, you're my sister. I love you in Christ. Annie, you're my sister. Lonnie, you're my brother. Clarence, you're my brother. Lester, you're my brother in Christ. Because we are of the family of God and we have received the Spirit of God. Listen to some scriptures. If you want to write them down, okay. And it's talking about the Spirit of God in Romans 8:9. He said, except a man possess the Spirit. In Romans 8:14, and be led by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, except a man be baptized in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, except a man is sealed by the Spirit. And then he goes on. That person is not a child of God. Oh, Lamb of God, dear Lamb of God, she's saying about Him. It's the truth about Him. John emphasizes concerning Him. Have you been baptized by Him? Is He the leader in your life? Are you sealed by Him? Is He the one that leads us in our everyday life? If not, and only the Lamb of God could baptize us with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the same one. John said it. John said, behold, I baptize you with water. I don't save you. I baptize you looking unto the Lamb of God coming and dying for you. But he said, but he that comes after me, after Jesus, there he is, there's the one, that's the one I told you about. He's the one that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That scares some people, that word Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit sound better. No, they're the same person. Let me go to close. And He come to lead us in the paths of all righteousness. We are all sealed with the Spirit of God. And the fruits of the Spirit of God are the things that I told you concerning. Now hear me well. Jesus come, if if Jesus come, you probably just never thought about it, but it's true. If Jesus came to take away the sins of the world on Calvary, if he come to take away the sins of the world on Calvary, he failed miserably. Oh, preacher! What's wrong with you? The truth. The truth. And I'll tell you why. Because there is more of what you and I call sins in the world today than ever before. And they're rampant. And they're on the growth. If you'll excuse me, they're coming out of the closets of every sin. So Jesus came to die for unbelief. No, not to come and die for the sins of the world, but for the sin. I say it again. Belief. Unbelief. Hear this today, if you're a Christian or no. I'll say it in our language. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll never be condemned. But if you don't believe in me, if you don't believe I'm the Lamb of God, you are already condemned. Well, when will that be decided? Well, that's after you die. That ain't what Jesus said. He said, you are condemned already. When is already? Is it now? And why are you condemned? What he died for. Because you have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. In John 3:16, you know it. I don't have to repeat it. Have you believed in the Lamb of God? Have you seen Him? Have you personally had an experience with Him? Have you accepted Him as the Lamb of God? Have you turned your sin of unbelief over to Him? Are you led by the Spirit of God today? Well, not every day. You better examine if you're a child of God. I don't know your heart today. I don't know what's in you. Jesus said to me, Howard, you just see the outside. You can't tell what's in there, and I can't. But he goes on to say, but God looks at the heart. You don't fool God. You fool Howard. You fool the church, but you can't fool God. He knows if you have accepted Him as the Lamb of God. As Brother Clarence Lee's come with just a verse of song, you might say, you know, I've never accepted Him as the Lamb of God. If I die, I wouldn't go to heaven. I wonder what you're waiting for. I mean, aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid? You read about this young fellow who died that worked down at Marissa. I can't grab his name right off. Bavay. I was talking to the man at Worship Mall time. I said, man, he was excited. He was full of zip and vinegar. I mean, there was nothing wrong with that man in this entire world. And he died. Fast. Aren't you afraid of that? That if you're not a child of God, you might die and spend eternity without God. You see, if there's no God, then I'm not a Christian. I'm up here making a bunch of noise. If there's not a Lamb of God, then that man gets up here like a fool every Sunday morning. He's not a fool. That man teaches about a God that doesn't exist. If there's no, have you really accepted Him? I mean, if you believe, have you accepted Him as your Savior? You have that opportunity. Go and give it to you right now. Not terribly long, because I know God has already spoke to your heart. Maybe you say, I haven't served God like I should, and some of us are like that. Come and give your life to God. All you got to say is, God, I'm sorry, and I want to follow you now the way you want me to. I don't have to come up there. You do if God tells you to. Back there ain't good enough. Up here is good enough. If this is where God wants you. And only you can make that decision. As we stand and sing this morning, I ask you a question. If Jesus comes in the next few minutes, and you, as you are, don't want Him coming, are you going to heaven? Is He coming to receive you, or will you be left? Oh, believe me. Today, I beg you in the name of Christ, behold the Lamb of God. He's here today. Will you accept Him as we sing, Brother Clarence? 194.